let's turn back to the book of Revelation today. And we're going to uncover at least two, if not three more verses in the book. I thought I'd get to a little bit more, but let me tell you what's happening in the book and where we are. It's caught me off guard a bit, and I think it's going to be okay. So as you turn to the book, and I'll explain where we are in just a moment, let me give to you the purposes for the book of Revelation being in the canon of Scripture, right? The 66 books you've got in your Bible. And we know that the context of the first century, a lot of persecution. And one of the reasons that we so cherish the book is that it gives so much encouragement during periods when we feel like we're getting beaten down for our faith. And that was especially the case in the first couple of centuries of the church. So it does encourage, and it also reminds us that God is in complete control. And you see that as we go through the book. Chapter 12 of Revelation, we are in the middle portion of the book. Middle of the Great Tribulation, time of indescribable judgment on the earth, and we've looked at some of those judgments so far. We turn to chapter 12, we are getting a breather from the judgments. We've gone through seals that were broken, we've gone through trumpets that were blasted, and we're getting a little breather before we get to the last round of bowls of wrath that are going to be poured out. Most folks who study the Bible have called this another interlude, so kind of a parenthesis in the book where you get some explanatory information with what's going on. And that's where we are in chapter 12. From chapter 12 to about chapter 16, there's going to be this interlude, and a lot we're going to cover in there. Now, for an outline for these couple of chapters, I think this will help. When you start in chapter 12 and work your way into 13, there are, I don't know, six or seven, maybe six personages that you're going to come across in the text. We have covered so far the woman at the start of chapter 12, which appears to be the people of Israel, the Jewish people. We have also looked at the great red dragon in chapter 12, which very clearly is identified as Satan, as the devil. And we'll look a lot more at him today and into next week as well. We've also looked at the male child that we saw in verse 5 when the woman brings forth this child, pretty clearly identified in the text as the Christ, as the Messiah, that God had, of course, foretold many, many years ago before Jesus was born and took on human flesh. After that child, we're going to be introduced to a character that we're going to look at today, and that one is a person named Michael. Now, I say person, probably best to say personage again, because he really is an angel. And we'll focus a lot today on angels, the battle that angels engage in, and a lot of question marks with that. And once we get through that with chapter 12, which will take us at least 4 weeks at this point, we'll turn to chapter 13, and there we'll be introduced to what the Bible calls these beasts. These will be identified as the Antichrist and as the false prophet. And so we're going to be at least, I'm going to say about 4 weeks probably before we get to the Antichrist and start talking about that. In chapter 12, it's very difficult to interpret. I say that every week. There's a lot of imagery here. And we, the last few weeks, did go through the first six verses with the woman. She's pregnant with the great red dragon in verse 3. The dragon trying to devour the child in verse 4. She brings forth the child and he is caught up, kind of raptured to God and to his throne. Verse 6, she flees into the wilderness. God has prepared a place for her and will take care of her for 3.5 years. The second half of the 7-year period of the tribulation. Now we pick up today in verse 7. And verse 7, and I'm going to read through verse 12, although I'm probably going to only get through two verses, maybe three. Here's what we find that John sees after these signs in heaven with the woman and with the red dragon. He says now in verse 7 that there was war in heaven. And he introduces us to a character named Michael. So it is Michael and his angels who fought against the dragon. Now, the dragon, remember, is Satan. And we're going to see that really clear in the next couple of verses. So, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. But the Bible says in verse 8 that the dragon and his angels prevailed not. neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So there's no longer a place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out or thrown down. Now here's the identification of the dragon. This is how we know for sure the dragon up in verse 3 is Satan. John says that the dragon is that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives a whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then John says he heard a voice. In verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power or authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down." That's talking about the dragon, Satan. He is cast down. So there's rejoicing over this. He is the one which accused them before our God day and night. We're going to learn a lot about Satan in verse 10 when we get to it. But then the Bible says, and John adds this note when it comes to those who survived or made it through, or were well kind of rescued from the tribulation through death. He says, those who did so overcame that dragon, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They died for their faith. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye are you that dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. And here is a reason. That dragon, the devil, has come down to you. He's got great wrath because he knows that he has only a short time. Again, my first response to reading this in chapter 12 is, wow. There's a lot in there, and it's a lot that John saw, and he doesn't give a whole lot of explanation. So that's what makes this a very difficult chapter to work through. So let's begin in verse 7, and let's start talking about this one named Michael. Now, here's what stood out to me, and it's just kind of run over me the past few weeks. If you had asked me before, a couple weeks ago, where in the Bible would you turn to read the most about the description and activity of the devil? I'm not sure what my answer would have been. I know back in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, we've got some words there that describe real kings that seem to apply to Satan, his origin, and his rebellion against God, and his pride, and I see that. And I read other places in the Bible where it talks about, you know, he's a roaring lion to devour, he steals and kills, and I'm like, but where would I go for one spot just to land there and really be able to really focus on a doctrine of the devil? And I can say this before a couple of weeks ago, I would have never ever told you Revelation chapter 12. See, the majority of people, when it comes to the book of Revelation, they like the first few chapters because it talks about the churches of Revelation. They skip the rest and they like the last few chapters because it talks about judgment and heaven. And very, very rare do you find in a church that there's true study of the middle chapters of the book. And yet we get to chapter 12, and you're going to find what I think, to me, the clearest description of your enemy. And over, John repeats information about this red dragon, and it seems to add to it as we go. So I'm just going to tell you now that from verses 7 through probably 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, this is almost going to be kind of a topical, kind of like a topical sermon, topical passage about the devil and his demons. They are real, okay? And that's what John is seeing in these verses. So let's try to unpack this and see if we can get through at least a verse or two today. Here we go. So John says in verse 7 that he noticed after the various persons we've seen so far, he says there was war. Now, if I were titling this section, and you might want to add this to your Bible if you want to, I would call these verses the Great Unseen War. And here's what I want you to think, and this is what I want you to take with you as you go through this week. According to these verses, and we're going to see other places with it, there is truly angelic battles and warfare going on all around you that you cannot see. There are angelic battles between Michael, which we'll talk about in a minute, Michael and his holy angels and the devil and his unholy angels. And here's what you're going to find. And listen, if you get this, you're going to be in a very small minority of human beings on this earth. You truly are. Very few people realize that the significant events that happen on this earth, whether they be political events or religious events, very few people even stop to consider the fact that there are forces behind what happens that you read about in the news. And if you don't believe that, then chapter 12 is going to fit your problem. Okay? That's what he's doing here. It's a great unseen war. Now here's what John sees. After the imagery with the dragon and the woman, and of course we see here the Christ and devouring, trying to destroy the nation of Israel, the anti-Semitism and all that, John says, let me tell you what's really going on behind the scenes. In verse 7 he says, there was war in heaven. War has been declared. You ever think sometimes that it'd be neat to be able to like kind of go behind the scenes? I think about it sometimes. I ain't got time to say this, but I'm trying to think of like real circumstances where like you really think about behind the scenes. So let's say that football season is about to start up, and I promise you, when you tune in, if you tune in and watch these guys chasing after that weird shaped piece of leather that's filled with air, if you watch them start to chase after that thing and break their bones for that thing and go through surgeries for that thing and all the stuff they do, you watch, I guarantee you, you ain't got a clue all the work that went on behind the scenes before that game started. In the weight room, on the whiteboards, drawing up plays, coming up with these weird names for plays, and practicing and perfecting. But all you do is turn the TV on, you just see the product. What if you go to your favorite restaurant? Most of us never think about what happens in the back, right behind the scenes. It comes out there. It's on a plate. It looks good. It tastes good. For the most part, you hope that's the case. And it's like, wow, man, it's a pretty good deal. Do you know all the work that went on behind the scenes, though, to get it, to get the food to the restaurant, to get it preserved, to get it cooked, to get it presented just right? Okay, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. That's true also in the world. John says, when he looked next, he saw war. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this. I think in verse 7, and really down through these verses here, this may be the beginning of the greatest battle that has ever been fought in the atmosphere above us. There is war. And John says it is Michael, an angel. It's Michael and his angels who are fighting against the devil and his angels. Now, why is there war in heaven? See, the Bible never answers that question. This is just going to be me. Again, I'm thinking through this. And I'm wondering is this yet another final attempt of Satan's to storm the throne of God? And so now as he makes his final push, we're at the end of time, right? Middle of the Great Tribulation. We ain't got many years left before the return of Christ. Final push here to storm the throne of God. And when that happens, Michael, which is going to be the archangel we'll look at in just a minute, Michael gathers his forces and there is a war. Now you talk about World War I, World War II. I don't know what you'd call this one. This one is in the heavenlies, right? And John says it's exactly what I saw. Now this always makes me think about this question. And I think this was 2 or 3 years ago. I'll never forget this. And we were in our Sunday school class. Ben and Catherine, Lord, I think they're in nursery this morning, I think. And I'll never forget this. And we were talking about, I want to say it was Joshua and an angel and like battle with angels. And Catherine asked a question I could not answer. And I don't think I ever will. And her question was this. She said, what do angels look like when they fight? I love that question. I've been through about 8 or 9 years of higher education in a theological setting. Nobody ever addressed that question. What do angels look like when they fight? I don't have a clue. But John saw it. He said, I've got one head angel, Michael, his soldiers, if you will, devil, and his soldiers, if you will. And he says, they fought. Wow. Okay, do you see? Here's what I want you to see. There are battles going on in the invisible realm that we cannot see. I've said it before. On any given Sunday morning, in any church in this land, especially a church where they're trying to preach a Bible, if we could see, oh man, if we could see the battles going on, not only outside this building, but all in between these pews, if we could just see the battle going on in the air around us, for that's where the demonic battle takes place, it says, if we could see that, I just don't know we'd walk into this building on a Sunday morning. I just don't know if we would. John got to see it. A battle going on. Constant battle, working behind the scenes, and they're daily trying to control events of the world. Now let me give you a verse with that, and then I'm going to move on here quickly as I can. New Testament, book of Ephesians. Paul speaks about this invisible battle. And what he does, he takes perhaps different ranks of angelic beings to speak about how there is a battle around us. And this is what he says in chapter 6 of verse 12. And you can make a note of it if you'd like to. Paul reminds believers that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, isn't that an interesting thought there? The struggles you have in life in trying to honor God and live for God and obey God, your primary battle is not against people around you. In fact, I think if there were people around you, it might be easier. But Paul says it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's a whole different realm. The struggle is against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness, and these are forces in the heavenly places. So it's just a reminder to us that there's a real battle. It's a great unseen war, okay? Now, let's look at the person that he lists here in verse 7. There's war in heaven. It's around us all the time. And specifically, he names an angel, and he says that the name of that angel is Michael. Now, for some Bible trivia, if you like it, I kind of do. There are only two angels I can find that are named in Scripture. Michael and the Christmas story. Gabriel, right? Okay. Gabriel seems to be the messenger angel. When God wants to send a message to Joseph or Mary or folks, he'll send Gabriel. It seems to be his job, kind of a messenger angel. But Michael seems to be a little bit more of a head angel. In fact, the New Testament calls Michael the archangel. And I'll throw this out there too. In your Bible, the only archangel ever named is Michael. So it very well may be the case that if you were to take, like if you can take a hierarchy of angels, the top angel, the chief angel, the head angel, very well may be Michael himself. Now, how serious is a battle? Listen to me. When you take the five-star general and put him on the front lines, it's pretty serious, right? This is Michael. This is the archangel. This is the head chief angel. John says, it was Michael. Five times in the Bible, Michael is mentioned. Now, I'm going to give you two really, really quick because I'm trying not to stay here too long, but I want you to see how real this is with angelic warfare. If your little brain will go back, and I know we don't read this a lot, but in the book of Daniel, in chapter 10, you'll read there that Daniel had a rough time. Y'all might think it's neat being a prophet. So I wish I was a prophet. Man, it'd be so much easier. I'm faithful to God all the time. It ain't easy. And Daniel had some visions, and Daniel had a lot of questions. And the Bible says for 3 weeks, Daniel prayed. Lord, would you please help me understand? Now, here's what it says. Chapter 10. So, Daniel is praying. And it says, after the end of 3 weeks, kind of a special visitor, an angel, came his way and said, Daniel, I would have gotten here sooner. I mean, seriously, it's in there. I would have gotten here sooner. But listen to me. For 21 days, I was in battle with the angel of the kingdom of Persia. Whoo! There was battle going on, right? Now, watch this. And here's what that visiting messenger says to Daniel. And Daniel, the only way I got away when I did, the only reason I got away, is God sent Michael. Okay? See, your Bible is connected, is it not? So Daniel says, listen, it took me 3 weeks to... I mean, the angel says, it took me 3 weeks to get here and answer your prayer because I was in battle, angelic warfare, and Michael came to my aid, the archangel, and now I'm here. Now, let me share another place in the New Testament we come across Michael. And this is going to blow your mind away. Remember the great unseen war? Let me give you this one in the little letter called Jude. And this is the ninth verse of that little tiny letter of Jude. Nobody ever reads Jude. We don't think about Jude. It's a book, I think, right before the book of Revelation. Little single page in your Bible. And here's what Jude says in talking about false teachers and comparing them to wicked people. He starts to describe Michael, that angel. And in the ninth verse of what we call the letter of Jude, here's where Michael is identified as the archangel. Now, let me do something before I go any further right there. Can y'all help me with something else? Because this is an interesting connection here that might be true. When the rapture occurs, do you remember that Paul said that the trumpet of God will sound and the voice of the archangel? That may be Michael's voice, y'all. It's the only archangel identified in the Bible. So maybe. So if you hear the voice of Michael, that means the rapture is really, really close. Well, here's what the Bible says about Michael in Jude chapter 9. Again, this is spiritual warfare. The Bible says that there's a time in the past where Michael the archangel disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses. Wow. I don't remember reading that in the book of Exodus. Listen, y'all. There is a spiritual realm of battle. And the Bible says years and years ago, the archangel actually got into a dispute with the devil himself. Now look what happens. Revelation chapter 12. Guess who's going at it again? It's Michael the archangel, the devil and his angels. And John says they are fighting. So who is Michael? It appears he becomes a leader of these good angels after Satan's fall. It looks like that is the case with Michael leading the army of these angels as they battle Satan. Now, the Bible says that there's war. There's Michael, the archangel. His angels are fighting. And they're fighting against the dragon. John literally sees Michael and angels fighting with Satan. Okay? The great unseen war, right? He literally sees a battle with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels also are fighting. Now, what does it say in verse 8? As they are fighting, somebody is going to win and somebody is going to lose. Verse 8 says, with the dragon, with Satan and his angels, they were not strong enough to prevail. Which, to tell you the truth, doesn't surprise me. I know he's not going to win. But John says, as I watched the fight, I could tell it was definitely headed toward Michael's side for victory. So the dragon fought his angels and they prevailed not. And neither was their place found anymore in heaven. No longer a place in heaven. Now, this is encouraging. If you're in the first century and you're enduring great persecution, this is going to be the first of a series of encouragements in this chapter to help you see that Satan is losing. And that's encouraging because you're getting beat to death, literally, as a believer. Place is found no longer for them in heaven. And I'm going to tell you real quick before we move to verse 9, just for a quick second today. If you think about all the battles Michael's been in with the devil through these years, wow. Can you imagine Michael through the years, through the centuries, longing for this time? You know why? Now watch this. This is we like to win, right? Can you imagine Michael saying, Lord, I long for the day when I can just boot him out of heaven? When I can literally take my angelic pointed boot and kick him down. You know what God says? Now is the time. Halfway point in the great tribulation, the Bible says now there's no longer a place found for him there in heaven. And Michael says in this victory, he gets cast out of heaven. Now there's a lot of questions that come up with that, and we'll talk about probably next week at this point. But we're going to move on really quickly and start into verse 9. Here's what happens. So they fight. There's a battle. And John says that when the devil was unable to prevail, was not strong enough, no longer a place found for him in heaven, he saw then that the great dragon was cast out. Now, here's what John does. To this point, he has not identified the dragon. He hasn't said he's Satan. When we get to verse 9, he finally clarifies exactly who the dragon is. And so he says a dragon was cast out. He's a great dragon because he's fierce and cruel. And he gives you three different words here that kind of go along with this, or this being that he calls the dragon. Number one, he says that this dragon being cast out is that old serpent. That old serpent is subtle and cunning. Now, your brain, if you're like mine, if you know your Bible some, your brain should go back to the very, very beginning of the Scripture. Take us back to the Garden of Eden, right? And what form does Satan take? He takes a form of a serpent, right? He is cunning. He is subtle. And in that form, he's able to tempt and mislead Adam and Eve. And all of a sudden, sin enters the world, death enters the world, and we got the mess we got today. I mean, that basically is where it all started. So he identifies him, first of all, as a serpent, going back to the book of Genesis. Number two, he says that dragon is not only known as an old serpent, he's also called the devil. Now, if you like some of the terms that we throw around sometimes, this is the Greek word for the dragon. Satan is the Hebrew word for the dragon. Hang tight, I'll explain what they are. So number one, he says he is called the devil. In Greek, that is, and you probably heard this before, diabolos. Have you ever heard of something being diabolical? It's coming from this word, right? If you have a diabolical experience, you've met a diabolical person, that means you're trying to compare them to the devil himself. That's what the word means. So he is the devil, and diabolical literally means, oh man, this is pretty good, one who casts through. One who slanders. One who accuses. If you think about it, you ever had... Now, you can't say this out loud and get you in trouble, make you look really bad. But you ever had somebody that you just don't like them? They get on your nerves. You're like, man, if I could have... Okay, now watch. That's what the word means, right? Satan, as he accuses, he's just kind of casting through. He's piercing right through as he slanders and accuses. That's part of his job. John says a dragon, number one, was a slanderer. Now, the next phrase or next word he uses in the middle of verse 9, he's also Satan. That's the Hebrew word which means adversary. Now, in Hebrew, technically, I know in English we say Satan, but technically in the Hebrew it is Satan. It just sounds different, doesn't it? Satan. Now, don't say that outside of these walls because people won't know what you're talking about. But literally, it's the Satan. It's the Satan, the adversary. And so if you think about an adversary, that means that he is an opponent of all believers. He is an opponent of all that is righteous, all that is right, all that is good, an opponent of God himself. So John gives in verse 9 about Satan, the dragon, he's a serpent, he's a slanderer, that's a devil, and he is an adversary as the Satan. As Satan himself. And that is how John describes the dragon. Now look, in verse 7, it's Michael and his angels having a fight against that beast. This cruel, great, and evil being. And what we find with this Satan, with this devil, is his job is to deceive the entire world. But with the battle, it says he is thrown down, cast out, into the earth. And listen, when he gets there, he is going to wreak havoc. And during that time, you're going to find the greatest persecution that the Jewish people have ever endured. Okay, remember I told you that last week? It's when Satan gets thrown down and cast down from heaven. Now, the bad news is at this point, we got to stop. Because it's time for us to move on for this Sunday. But I want you to see how real the battle is. And what I want to do next week, and again, the entire section focuses so much on Satan. We don't think about it in the Bible. Revelation 12 focuses and repeats a description of our enemy and of the battles that go on around us and in this world. And John had a front row seat to exactly what Michael and his angels had to deal with when it came to the dragon. He identifies him in that way. Now, I'm going to pick up with that next Sunday as a plan. I want to show you a few more verses that teach us where Satan dwells right now, where he does his work right now in the atmosphere around us. And then we're going to move on to his being thrown down and then into the next couple of verses. Okay, there we go. How about that for Revelation chapter 12? Let's bow as we close today. And as we spend this time just being quiet before we go, this also, as we do each Sunday, is our invitation time. And I want you to have that opportunity as we do get ready to go. You may have something on your heart today that you need to pray about or just lay before the altar. You know that this representation of an altar is always available. on these Sunday mornings for you to kneel in prayer. If not, it may just be there at your seat. And there might be something in particular. You may feel that the dragon is breathing down your neck. The temptations, the deception, the misleading, trying to cause you not to trust God and cause you not to do what the Bible teaches when it comes to you're dealing with other people. And you may be failing at that. Say, Lord, I'm not acting like Jesus at work. I'm not acting like Jesus at school. My attitude is not right. And I know it's Satan. And it may be you need to acknowledge that today. Be reminded that Satan is a defeated foe. Oh, he's still alive and kicking. But God's got him on a string. He's using him now to fulfill his purposes for the end of time. And so it may be that you need to pray for God's strength and help to trust him more when it comes to those battles. It may be that you're not saved, you're not a believer. The devil is going to end up in a literal fiery hell. But unfortunately, the Bible also says of the final judgment, those who don't know Christ, they're going to also follow him into that eternal fiery hell. And so you may not know Christ today and may not have turned to him. And that would be your greatest need this morning, to acknowledge your separation from God, your sin, to repent of that, and to simply trust, to just believe that Jesus died for you. He did it on a cross. He was put into that tomb and he was raised on the third day. And all those who call upon his name in faith and trust in him shall be saved. The Bible makes that very clear. And so that may be the decision you need to make today. So whatever your concern or burden, just spend a moment in prayer. I'll be quiet. I'll be available at the end of our service, so if you do need to talk with me, I'd love to do that. But I'm going to be quiet, and I'll close us in prayer in just a little tiny bit. Father, I think we can all agree that it sure feels good to be under the protective hand of God when we consider the angelic warfare going on around us. Maybe it's not as intense right now as it's going to be in what we read in Revelation chapter 12, but it surely shows us that in this atmosphere above this earth, that seems to be the demonic domain, and we'll see that next week. And it is a reminder to us that we are in a battle. Satan hates us. He hates the church. He hates the gospel. God, help us as we go into this new week to not forget just how real the battle is, and to remember that our ultimate foe is a defeated one. Help us to live in victory. Help us to smile and be excited, even in a world where it's hard sometimes, to be reminded of one of the purposes of the book of Revelation, to show us that God is in control. He's got victory secured. You've heard the prayers today. I simply add an amen to those. Ask for your intervention in every particular circumstance that has been lifted up before you. As we leave this place, go with us in such a way this week that we know it, and then we don't forget it. Bless and protect. Help us to be wise. And help us to be good examples of the love and grace and mercy demonstrated there at the cross where Jesus died. And we lift up to you our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.